Welcome to I'm Spiritual, Damn It. I'm your host, Jennifer Weigel, and joining me in studio, psychic medium Andrew Anderson. He can be found at psychicmediumreading.org. He's been doing this for a long time, and he has a lot to say about whether or not you are on your life path, your life theme, how to enhance your psychic ability, and obviously contacting those on the other side. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So talk to me about when, I know that your gifts were enhanced when you experienced a coma, but even before you had your kind of near-death experience, talk to me about how you always had sort of an intuitive bug. You had that feeling, mm-hmm. you knew stuff before it happened.
Well, it goes back to early childhood. I remember I grew up in a my dad was very abusive and alcoholic, and I had a lot of time alone, mm-hmm. And I always felt someone with me at that time. I knew, and I used to think it was Jesus, for lack of a better
just how you were raised. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Turned out it was my spirit guide, which we all have.
We all have many, though. Do you think, or do
absolutely.
We just have one?
Okay. Oh no, I only connect to one, Carl.
And when did you know that your spirit guide was named Carl? That just one day was he like, "Hey, dude, I'm Carl. Let's go
no,
play."
Actually, his name. He came to me as Kevin.
Mm.
My ex-wife was in an abusive relationship with someone named Kevin.
Okay.
So I couldn't call him that. I changed it to Carl, who was one of my favorite uncles who I never met.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories that I heard about him intrigued me back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him Carl. And there's no problem with whatever. Is the name isn't as important as personalizing them and understanding how they're talking to us and communicating with us.
Got it. And so he came to you. What age did you remember having your first conversation with Carl?
Probably where I knew he was, I would say about 19.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And it didn't scare you?
No, not at all.
Okay, it kind of, because some people would say, all right, so I heard this voice. Did you see his presence? Did you just have a knowing of his presence or hear his voice?
I think
all of it.
All of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because some people would go, oh my
mm-hmm.
gosh, Mom, I need help, or Dad, where do I go? Or this is schizophrenia, or did you ever have bouts with that and doubts?
No.
Okay. Because your internal intuitive compass was pretty strong.
I've always been able to see things about people,
mm-hmm.
but I've also had the luxury of seeing what I was projecting for them to happen over the years since I was little, whether or not people had cancer or didn't. Because
mm-hmm.
there was an incident where some girl was saying she had cancer, and I said she didn't, and for months she was fooling people. But ultimately, everybody found out she didn't. But I've seen that I've been right, so I'm able to see that. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Okay.
That I was, how I was seeing things was accurate.
Got it. So predicting stuff, and I've heard this from many psychics and mediums, and for those who are listening who need to understand the difference, psychics will talk about future events and mediums talk to the other side. Some do both, some do not. You do both, Andrew.
I do. I'm a psychic medium.
Okay. And so for you, when you get the information about somebody's future, how much of it is actual destiny and how much of it can be changed by free will? Are you ever worried about a prediction that you make being changed by someone's free will?
That's a great question. Because one of the things, I have a lot of rules. I do believe in God strongly,
mm-hmm.
and I follow his rules. What I do has been stereotyped for centuries as being evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's even in the Bible that way, I guess. But I don't, there's nothing evil with what I do.
I tell people gifts of the spirit, Corinthians,
yeah,
hello.
Exactly.
You
thank
know.
You.
Okay.
Good one.
Right.
But I follow his rules, and one of them is I don't tell people when they're going to pass, which mm-hmm. is a common question, believe it or not. I'm here to help people alter their path. If there's something that is in their way, like a terrorist attack, cancer, heart attack, I see that usually. And mm-hmm. I tell people that this is coming or to do this to help them avert it. I don't know if you've read on my website, there's been several incidences where...
Yeah, you predict stuff that has happened.
In Turkey, London, mm-hmm. I mean, all over. And people, I hope, by giving them an awareness of something could be coming, maybe they're more aware where they are, you know?
But then are some of those things meant to happen?
Good. Well, yeah.
I mean, but one would say, why would anybody be meant to be in a bombing in London? But some deaths are, you know, random chaos mm-hmm. and some are actually divine. So how does one, you know, discern mm-hmm. the difference?
Well, I think there's a lot of randomness to this world. I don't think God created a bunch of robots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I don't think that everybody's life is and death is predetermined.
Okay.
I think that there's 7 exit points in everyone's life.
Branch points, exit points. Yes, yes.
At any mm-hmm. one of those points, we could check out or go. I can help people at least maximize that and get to the last checkout point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that everybody that comes to me, I think is for a reason.
Right.
So they come to me, Maybe they were guided by their guides or mm-hmm. angels, maybe to help them to avoid that, what is coming.
I see.
That's how
and
I
their internal
it.
Compass is saying, hey, call Andrew, and maybe we want to get out of exit point 3 and go wait until exit point 7.
Exactly.
Okay, because I met Dr. Mary Neal, who wrote the book To Heaven and Back, mm-hmm. and interviewed her, and she talked about the exit points, and that her son, somebody switched with her son one of the exit points, and that this gentleman was done with his path, and he was switching with her son, so that her son got to exit a little later than predicted when she was on the other side. But she thought that that would be longer than the year that it was, but still a year was better than not, mm-hmm. right? So you think we all have exit points, that that's predetermined by us as souls before we come into this incarnation?
A lot of things are predetermined. I mean, a lot of people, in my opinion, pick cancer before they come in. Or
so that they can have an understanding of it, a compassion. Yeah. We pick our parents?
I don't think so much. I think God does that.
Okay.
I think...
Based on what challenges we want to... When you talk about, you know, the life themes, based on what we want to tackle?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We get the most growth as a spirit, which is ultimately, as a human being, what we want mm-hmm. when we go through cancer or a disability in some sort. Because as a human being, for us to... think who would pick cancer? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't comprehend that.
Right.
But on the other side, things are much different. Mm-hmm. I had something pretty, I got to talk about this really quick.
Please.
I had something pretty profound happen to me on the way here.
Yes. So on the way here, you were driving down to 435 North Michigan Avenue where we record, and you were coming from the suburbs, right?
Yes. Huffman Estates.
Okay.
And I knew you. I mean, I didn't know you, but you were Jen, and I, and all of a sudden my car got in the car and it was on AM radio.
Sure.
And I used to listen to it many, many, many months ago, but mm-hmm. I've been on FM listening to music all the time lately.
Sure.
But it happened to be on AM 1000. And out of the blue, they were talking about, I heard Tim Weigel.
On AM 1000?
Yes. They were talking about a story of him in the locker room. And I come to realize that's your dad.
Right.
And I was, Carl's like, that's who you're going to talk to.
Wow.
And I didn't
and
even
Tim
know.
And Tim died, for those who don't know, in 2001.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
And I picture mm-hmm. him here. I see him here. Mm-hmm. And I was reading it all the way here as I'm like, okay, cool. She's Tim Weigel's. I mean, he was a sportscaster, is what I remember.
Correct.
Yeah, I do see him here. I see deterioration with him, like mm-hmm. he deteriorated. He was like a shell of his former self. Mm-hmm. He went through like a cancer mm-hmm. or something. And I feel a sense of optimism with him. Like maybe he had it, and then, I don't know, maybe they thought he was going to survive.
Oh, yeah. He thought that he had beaten it. Yeah.
Okay. That's mm-hmm. what I'm getting mm-hmm. from him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he passes from it. That's what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Did he divorce your mom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I see divorce from him and separation, but I feel regret from him. He shows me two tears.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a symbol of he regrets a lot of things in his life.
Yeah.
He had some regrets. I do hear, like, your mom was the love of his life, but he didn't treat her that way.
Okay.
And he regrets that.
Interesting.
He regrets the situation there, whatever happened that led to the divorce, I'm
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were high school sweethearts, so they were real young.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Love of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel an overwhelming sense of pride for you.
Oh, that's nice.
You've wrote books or a book?
I have written books, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got a... there's something that's in you that's... I see a masterpiece, so to speak. Not saying your books weren't good. I don't know much about you. I'm sorry.
But, it's okay. No, but I know you said you don't like to do
I don't like any
research.
Preconception.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's something in you that's going to come.
Okay.
How long have you been doing this?
This radio?
Yeah.
I think 2 years.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I started in radio at AM 1000. I started in radio in AM 1000, which is ironic that you heard that, from AM 1000. And then I went to news, and I was doing reporting at WGN and CBS and NBC, and I've worked at ABC and WGN radio, fill in here and there. But as of right now, there's no kind of home base for me. Mm-hmm. I do this podcast because I love it, but the programming needs for the radio side have not been in demand for this kind of wellness programming, which I think is really unfortunate. I think we should have a mainstream, like an AM 1000 or somebody, putting this kind of stuff on all the time. Yeah. But I'm really proud of the podcast, and we have a lot of listeners. Good. So that's the best news for me. But
you know, your dad, he regrets. I think it's leaving you so soon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like you could have used him and he wasn't here for you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, tell her I hear her. So I feel like you talk to him still.
Oh, sure.
And he says, I hear her. His spirit's around you when you're talking to him.
Great.
You were there when he passed?
Yeah.
Because he's showing me you in the room. Mm-hmm. And I see touching, like you were holding his hand.
Yep.
And he says to tell her I felt that. I see him like in and out of consciousness. And it feels like you didn't know if he felt that or not.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I did, and it meant a lot.
Great.
You weren't the only one there.
No. Yeah, it was like a party.
Was he in sports? I mean, I know he was a sports caster, but was he in sports?
Yeah, he played them. Him? Yeah.
I see a uniform with him.
Oh, yeah.
But a uniform military.
Hmm.
Not him necessarily, someone with him. His dad and mom passed?
His dad and mom, yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in the military?
Cause I get his dad was in the war.
Because he's showing me a really old, handsome man. He was a really old picture of him in that uniform.
Yep.
I get symbols from spirit. That's how I connect with them. I don't see them like I see you or people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I use the analogy like looking through pea soup.
Got it.
And they give me symbols and things.
Okay.
Did you know Grandpa?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He died a year after my dad, actually.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They're all together.
Great.
As well as the child you lost.
Mm-hmm.
I feel more than one child on the other side, though.
Oh, I only lost one.
Not you. No, connected to the family. You only lost one.
Right.
But there's a connection to the family. Someone else lost another child.
Okay.
You have a lot of spirit around you.
Cool. The more the merrier.
Yes. How do you tap into them? I mean, because I feel like when I see this much activity, it's usually because they're trying to get messages through to people, but a lot of people don't know how to listen or they're missing the promptings and the signs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you seem to be, women are naturally more intuitive, but you're different. You're in a high level, in a very higher plane than a lot of people I meet.
Cool.
Just so you know.
Okay, thanks for that.
Why are they here?
Yeah,
why, I know
that's
why
great. No, tell me, why are they here?
No, it's more like, it feels like you.
Like you're asking me, you're the guy who talks to them.
Oh, no, I'm not talking to you.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Oh, no, I'm just, it was just a statement. Yeah. I'm feeling like you need direction and guidance in certain things in your life. Maybe you're a little uncertain about your path.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's some things missing in your life. Relationship, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had good luck with men.
There's the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I, like I said earlier, I see the divorce. And it's nice that you're friends with him, though, for the kids. But
That was funny. Your eyes just bugged out. What happened? What did Carl say? Don't tell her.
No, just, you know. Sometimes I get a little personal. Usually don't hold back.
Okay, but told you not to hold back.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you just, you work a lot?
I'm trying to work as much as I, you know, can.
Because I don't feel like you try to either look for a guy or something. You're not really invested in that. Like, I see walls up with you. You know, you're probably a well-known person with your success, I'm sure. But I see a small circle of people that really know you. You don't trust a lot of people. I see walls around you and a small circle.
Interesting, because people say I'm the exact opposite. I kind of let every stranger into my world, and that's actually got me in trouble a little bit.
Okay. But what I'm feeling is are you trying to find a man?
I'm not online dating or anything. Okay. I'm open to whatever
you're
comes.
Open, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not trying is what I'm feeling. I think it's time this fall to try.
Okay.
There is a guy coming. I see you at an event. It looks like a fundraiser. You go to fundraisers?
I do.
I see you at a big crowd of people, and there's someone that you're familiar with, and if you want to know this.
Sure, please, bring it on.
It's someone you're familiar with, and he seems smart, could be a lawyer, but it seems like someone you met, but wouldn't have considered dating him before. Maybe you reunite and something clicks.
Okay.
So not everything's etched in stone. Doesn't mean you're going to meet him just because I see that.
Right, exactly. Like you say, free will can happen at any moment. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, put your odds in your favor. An event like that could be, are you writing a book now?
I am for someone else. I'm ghostwriting a book for someone. Yeah.
Ghostwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go back to your book.
Right.
What books have you written? What
Four type? Books. They're memoirs about spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
The last one was a whole book about psychics, mediums, and healers, where I went around the country and interviewed.
Oh.
So it's psychics, healers, and mediums, a journalist, a road trip, and voices from the other side. So I went around the country and interviewed people like you.
Oh.
I didn't know about you yet, Andrew. Otherwise, you would have been in there.
I will check out your books.
Yeah. But you're saying there's a masterpiece coming?
There is.
Okay.
It's something collectively. It's that things you've learned. Have you journaled? You journal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're all kind of journals about my journey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
They're all.
But you're a very interesting person, though.
Mm-hmm.
You've You guys are as German, right? The name
German, Weigel, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm, we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see you've had a lot of lives. I feel like you're a very old soul, yeah. And there's a connection to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You probably lived there a couple times.
Cool.
You've lived a lot of lives, actually, though.
Okay, yeah.
That's why it's going to take a special person to actually connect with you. Because you're not going to just go with anyone.
That's kind of where I'm just at this point in my life. I don't want to settle. I want, you know, somebody who gets a conversation like what we're having, mm-hmm. or doesn't have to completely get it, but at least would be open to having it. I also don't feel like, you know, I have a son that I adore and a job that I really enjoy as well. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to fake it for, you know, putting the square peg in a round hole or whatever.
Good for you.
Yeah. So that's what I'm.
Do you remember your dad as being funny?
Very.
Because he's funny. He's making me laugh right now.
Yeah.
He's showing signs of his personality. Mm-hmm. He's like he's making people laugh on the other side as he did in life.
Yeah.
He's being sarcastic.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know, I'm just hearing that from him.
Yeah. He was
you know, the other side is an amazing place. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, but I was in a coma.
Yeah. So tell us about
13
that.
Years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I think.
You're getting real hot right now and the air conditioning's on full blast. Are you okay?
Usually I'm cold because it's usually.
Are my spirits heating you up?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. There's a lot of activity in here, apparently.
Well, there is.
Okay.
I think that God truly blessed me with that glimpse to the other side. It's so cliche when someone passes, you say they're in a better place.
Right.
Well, I was there. I was.
So talk what happened. You went to the hospital.
Well, I came down. I had a several bouts of pancreatitis, mm-hmm. some of the worst cases in the hospital's history that they've seen. And I had gone to the hospital with one of the highest elevation mm-hmm. of enzymes that they've ever seen. Went into the hospital and contracted double pneumonia.
Oh.
Then my body just shut down the morphine, Dilaudid, none of the pain, it wouldn't work. I was mm-hmm. still couldn't control the pain. So they put me in an induced coma.
Mm-hmm.
Right after that, I remember exactly like it was yesterday going to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most unbelievable experience. It was so bright. The colors were magnified. It felt like I was more alive than I've ever been in my life.
Right.
I felt like I had my body, but I didn't have like the weight or the physical restraints that the body has,
sure.
for lack of a better explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But it was me.
Right.
And I remember being with my mom and my aunt and some other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the only emotion I remember from being on the other side is frustration. I remember I have family in Las Vegas, and I remember going there, and I was outside watching my brother-in-law garden, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, why can't you hear me? I'm talking to him. Mm-hmm. I'm so frustrated.
You had the coma not in Las Vegas, in Illinois.
I was in Hoffman Estates.
Right, so you're in Hoffman Estates. Yeah. Then you travel, like you think about your brother in Zoom. You're in Las Vegas.
Pretty good analogy.
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty much how it works.
So just bam, right there.
Yeah. And he was a skeptic,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I was watching him, and when I came out of the coma, I told him what he was wearing, what he was doing, mm-hmm. gardening, how he tripped. Mm-hmm. All that stuff he said was real, freaked him out. But
I was going to ask you, how does your family accept what's happening for you?
I'm sorry?
Your gifts.
I mean,
your daughters, your brother. I mean, you mentioned your mother was on the other side, greeted you when you, and so she basically told you you had to go back, right?
Yeah, she pushed me back.
Okay.
I remember it like it was yesterday. She mm-hmm. said, you're not done here yet.
Yeah.
She pushed me back, and I remember going from that feeling of being so alive
mm-hmm.
to the blah and the weight of the body
yep.
with the doctors around me like it was yesterday.
And for people who say that that's just a lack of oxygen and that you're just, because that's what the skeptics say. I get it all the time. And even Dr. Mary Neal said, how could I have been without oxygen for 30 minutes? Because she was in her coma for 30 minutes. So for you, you know, for those people that say that. It was days, right? I mean, that's the thing.
I think 11 days I was in the coma.
Okay.
I was in ICU for 36 days.
Okay.
there was no concept of time. It seemed like minutes, maybe.
Right.
But the memories I got from that were very profound and very exact.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it like it was yesterday, and I came out of that with a clearer image of the other side,
mm-hmm.
and with more of a mission, I think, of
right.
telling people that you know, that's why what I do, I always praise God,
mm-hmm.
because I know He let me see that other side for a reason. Because every day I have people coming to me that have lost someone,
right.
and I try to give them hope of where they are. They're, you know, our spirits are with us.
Mm-hmm.
They're just here in another way.
So it's sort of like a radio station. They're in a different frequency. They're in a different station, right? Yeah. And so for those that maybe don't embrace God, or maybe they were tainted by a religion, you're talking about an all-inclusive God. Like, you don't think that there are different suites for Buddhists and Jews and Christians. What is your belief on those who are hyper-religious in this side and then they get to the other side? What do you think happens to them?
Well, first of all, I embrace all religions.
Mm-hmm.
Buddhists, everyone, yeah. All of them. They all have merit. They're all equally valued.
Mm-hmm.
Valued. I believe there's only one God. That's my belief again.
Right.
And how people interpret him is their own business, their own belief. It's just a matter, as long as we do interpret him and understand him and believe him and love him.
Mm-hmm.
That's my belief. You know, and being good to people. I think the church was created to give people an example of how to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise,
and a sanctuary to get away from, yeah, and to pray.
There would be a lot more chaos in the world if there wasn't the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the stick theory. You heard of that?
Yeah.
You have one stick, it's easy to break. But mm-hmm. most people with their own faith all alone isn't going to be strong enough,
right,
to make it.
That's right. But for so many people, religion is taking the power outside of yourself and giving it all to, you know, a God or a belief system. Do you think that we all can tap into God, whether we're gardening or whether we're in the front pew of the church?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's where I think religion gets messed up a little,
yeah,
bit.
And I believe we all have angels, mm-hmm, and spirit guides, many,
okay,
up to five I've seen,
mm-hmm,
maybe even more at some instances.
Do you think Carl will come and go? Like, I've interviewed Echo Bodine, and she has a guide, Lily, but every 7 years or so, she gets a new person. Has it been Carl the whole time for you?
Whole time.
Okay.
Carl and I go way back.
Okay.
We've had lives together,
okay,
before, and I believe everybody has had a connection with their guide at one point. I mm-hmm. think guides are appointed by God, as well as angels are appointed by God.
Right.
The difference I see is that angels have never had lives on earth.
Got
Spirit
it.
Guides have. That's mm-hmm. why they're better suited to guide us.
Because they know both sides.
Yes.
So then our dead loved ones, like my dad might be here, but he's not necessarily my guide because
no.
he was my dad.
Right.
So do I have a Carl?
Because you had a guide way before your dad.
Correct.
Passed.
Because, yeah, because I was 30 when my dad died.
But I also tell people mm-hmm. that
Who are you seeing? You're just darting all over the place.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes. Somebody.
For the listeners who aren't seeing this.
It's just like a young male that passed a little too soon.
Uh-huh.
That I'm picking up here. I don't know if he's even connected to you. It feels like somebody from around here. But
okay.
Sorry, gotcha. I was off. I
no,
lost
it's okay.
My train of thought.
We're talking about angels and guides. No. And I just asked you if. So my dad isn't my guide, but
right.
we all have guides. And my dad died when I was 30, so right. I obviously had a guide before he passed.
But now the spirits mm-hmm. will connect with us in the same way that a guide does.
Okay.
I try to teach people to learn to compartmentalize the brain and separate. Our left side is our processing, analytical mm-hmm. side,
right.
our ego. The right side's the creative side. If we learn to separate the two,
mm-hmm.
listen to that right side, we make better choices and we hear what guides and spirits want from us.
Now, you have a couple of things for people if they want to learn to develop their psychic abilities. You have the book, How to Enhance Your Psychic Ability, that they can get on your website, psychicmediumreading.org, and also a calming meditation to connect with spirits. So for those who haven't dug into those yet, what do you recommend to the listeners right now that they can start doing just in their car or when they get up or before they doze off to sleep?
Basically, it's developing a relationship and understanding. Giving a guide a name.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to hear a perfect name. It's whatever you really want to call them. Giving them the identity is what's important.
Okay.
And including them in small choices and decisions in your life, even down to like what to wear in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You ask your guide what to wear. You put out two outfits, a choice. Choices in your life, small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Then you feel the answer on the right side of your brain. You pick it up immediately, instinctively.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, different things throughout your life, choices.
And intuition, by the way, is that bird that flies in front of the window, guys. It is not something that you dwell on and think about.
And overthink.
It comes like a flash, right?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And if I don't know if you can read my blogs, but mm-hmm. Carl has saved me from being shot.
Mm-hmm.
He saved me from head-on collision. I was in my car on Randall Road with my daughters. This happened a few times with them. We're like, Dad, what are you doing? A light turned green, and Carl said, stay. I stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
Semi-truck. They said, what are you doing? And I'm like, just wait.
Hold on.
Semi, 80 miles an hour, merging into right in front of us. Would have hit us. He was flying. That was why. I don't always listen because we're all impulsive human beings by nature.
Yeah.
But I've listened in the important times.
Okay.
And by understanding how he talks to me. I know when he's serious or telling me this, you have to listen for.
Right.
And that's why I try to help people through practice. They can listen too.
Right.
When they're, you know, or to avoid that bad relationship or whatever, or even, you know, the accident, whatever it is.
So that's important. So you're guiding people. You're guiding through people through the stuff that you hear to tell them. And whether they follow through with it or not, you know, like you just said to me, I'll meet somebody at a fundraiser and da-da-da. Well, I would just happen to be scheduled to go to a fundraiser on Monday, so I'll let you know how that goes, okay?
Well, you got to keep your eyes open.
Right. But that's the thing. People can't just sit in their living room and expect everything to land in their driveway. There has to be some activity.
That's what I say. You got to be proactive.
Yeah,
because that's a common thing that I deal with is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I can try to give you all the clues to put you there, but he's not, you know, he's not going to come knocking on the door.
Right.
Unless you want to date the mailman or the FedEx guy, right?
Yeah. Amazon delivery is a big thing these days. Is there a guide here that wants to share a name? Because I've never gotten
I'm trying
that.
To hear one from you. You know, you do have, well, you have a couple male guides, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a tough decision to make coming up? See, sometimes we're, well, we all have male and female guides. Sometimes we're dominated by one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there's a reason. If we're dominated by male guides, it's because maybe we have a tough choice or we just need to be tougher in life in some way.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Female guides domination is usually we need to be more feminine or.
Interesting.
Or you need to be more feminine. But
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just softer about things.
Mm-hmm.
You have a Carla around you. You have a, that's a name you can use.
Carla?
Yeah.
Okay.
No
relationship to Carl. Just Carla.
No.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
No, but that is, that is a name that I'm hearing around you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you probably wouldn't be familiar with that, but have you always known that there was a... something around you?
Well,
it feels
like
you have.
Since the very young age, and I write about this in my first book, Stay Tuned, I would get these sort of stomach aches around people. Whether, you know, I would know if somebody had ill intentions, and I would know a babysitter that was going to go off the rails, and I would know a teacher that didn't like their job, and those kinds of things. And when I went to the doctor, my doctor told my mom, my pediatrician, who I believe is still practicing, by the way, that I was making it up for attention and to just ignore it. So that just kind of told me right there to shut down anything that I was trying to feel intuitively, and I just did for a very long time. But I believe my intuition helped me as a reporter and as a journalist.
Yeah, exactly. I talked about that, too. Mm-hmm. I talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Because in the old days, like, kids would have, like, imaginary friends.
Sure.
When in actuality it was a spirit or a guide playing with them.
Right.
But parents back then would say, shut up, stop that, there's no one there.
Mm-hmm.
Kids would put up walls.
Right.
The spirit doesn't go away, but their acknowledgement of them does.
Right.
Today, there's more parents encouraging their kids.
Mm.
Who is it? What are they wearing?
Exactly.
A spirit journal or whatever they keep with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I, you know. Not I encourage that because I don't. Not because you want your child to become a psychic or whatever.
Mm-mm.
But if we all know that our guides are here and how they connect with us through our gut, our intuition,
right,
they make better choices.
I tell my son all the time. I say, "What does your heart say?" You know, sometimes his stomach can be connected to his fears. Like I used to get that, but I would say, what does your heart say? And then he'll tell me like the first intuitive thing that comes to his mind. And that's always the right. That's always the right choice. Always. So,
exactly.
Yeah, he's had the
I told you
intuition.
When I sat down, you're on a different plane.
Mm-hmm.
You're right on about all the things, even though but you're really young. I don't know how what era you grew up, but.
Oh, I was born in 1970, so I'm not that young.
That's
but you're sweet. No, but, you know, I mean, just saying, I'm not like 26.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people in the world now that think this kind of conversation is odd, but I think it's more open now than it ever has been.
Absolutely. The veil is thinning.
It is.
Between this world and the next. I tell people that.
Mm-hmm.
I did a reading for a priest. Who would have thought of that? I had a husband and wife. They're pastors. They own a church in Southern Illinois.
Yeah.
Came for a reading. They loved it.
So how did they do it incognito? Because I know a woman who's an intuitive who's a Catholic, but she doesn't really want to broadcast it because she's afraid of the judgment.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
They own the church, so I don't know what they did when they went home. I know their experience. They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a preacher, too, a few months ago getting a reading.
Right.
Because his wife died, and, you know. It's just a testament to the veil thinning between this world and the next. Because this was unheard of.
That's true. But I also tell people, if you are judgmental about this and you claim it's the devil, then you're not reading the Bible, because the Bible has incidents of mediumship throughout, not just Jesus coming back and appearing to Mary. But, you know, I quote this in my fourth book in the introduction. It was a Roman Catholic priest sent me a note, and he said, Jen, you just want you to know you're not crazy for digging into this. There are all these instances in the Bible, and then he proceeded to list some of them. And one of them is when Samuel is he forbade all mediums, and anybody who went to mediums were going to be, you know, in trouble. But then he wanted the guidance from Saul for a certain war that he was fighting, and he was really, really, you know, verklempt about it. So he went and sought out a medium on the down low, right? And then did contact Saul. Saul came back and was totally annoyed, but he did get guidance. So even the guy who was forbidding the whole practice of going to mediums went ahead to a medium.
Yeah.
So I think the moral of that story is that even the great leaders, when they realize somebody has an intuitive gift, to reach out with their antenna better than we can reach out. But really, the bottom line is we can all do this if we choose to open up our pathways.
Exactly. Well, there were psychics when the Bible was written. God didn't write the Bible.
Right.
And they had to be psychic to be able to receive the messages from him.
Right.
So it goes back.
It was all channeled.
Yeah. Just anything that wasn't understood back in that day was just labeled as evil.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that comes from.
True.
You know, so.
And also, these things were not written down like they are today. They weren't digitally recorded as they are today. I tell people who believe in their religion staunchly, but they don't believe in the conversation you and I are having, what we are talking about is much more provable today. For example, you talked about helping with police cases. Mm-hmm. You help out with different police departments to solve murders.
Right.
You basically tell them, yes, this happened. The body's over here. It's buried under the house. I remember one of the instances on your website. And here it is. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
You also predicted that a serial killer would be discovered, and just recently he was.
Yeah.
So this is provable now.
Exactly.
More, but yet people can believe, 250 plus million people believe Jesus came back from the dead when it wasn't really provable.
Mm-hmm.
But this stuff is provable, and they go, eh.
Yeah. And when there's an overwhelming amount of people validating something, at what point do you say, okay, there's something to this?
Right.
I mean, I was reading for this woman. She came to me and incognito. I told her she was a cop. I even told her about her case she was working on.
Sure.
She thought it was great so much that she went back to her chief and wanted me to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a skeptic, but he said, okay, bring him in.
Yeah.
They brought me into the precinct there, put me in a room, and asked me to write down everything that I felt about this case they were working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and it was, he read it over, and then he brings in the folder. I was 95% accurate to things that weren't even reported about this murder, down to the marks where they were on her body,
right?
The men involved, how she died. I mean, so much. So they took me to the crime scene after that. And so he was a believer after that. So you...
For those out there that wonder, like, what's the point of this? You're helping people kind of put closure on things.
Yeah.
You're helping people solve unsolved mysteries. You're also helping people with their grief when they think, oh, gosh, they're gone for forever. You're here to validate that they're not. They're just in another suite of the building. You know, they're reachable. If you think about them, we don't just have to speak it. We can think these things and still connect to them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God, I believe God created us all.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that he didn't create us to be able to comprehend the other side. If he did, we'd all be trying to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It created us to hold on to these bodies with every ounce of our being. Mm-hmm. So we don't understand that spirit are more alive than us. We you know, it's not in our DNA.
Right. We think this is it.
Yeah.
We have no idea that this
That's
is just
he made us.
Far from it.
Yeah.
And so do you think there's a heaven and a hell?
I believe, I know there's a heaven. I think there's another dimension to the world that begins about 3 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
In that dimension is the other side. I think heaven is up from there. And that's where reincarnation, in my belief, comes in. I think that being separated from God once we cross over is one of the worst feelings imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our souls get many chances, and we get reborn, and we live lives, and
to learn
our soul
things.
Grows
mm-hmm.
each time. Like you're a very old soul. You go back thousands of years.
Oh, cool. I was in Egypt.
Yes. that's cool. I was going to say that.
Okay.
But you were.
Yeah, yeah.
Ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, yeah, and I think that hell is actually on Earth. I think we're living in it, as described in the Bible.
Right.
That's why there's, you know, I have a lot of, one of the hardest things for me to deal with is when a parent comes and they lose a child.
Right.
But the children who pass, that was predetermined all the time.
We were just talking about how you say there's a lot of random mm-hmm. chaos, that not necessarily things are planned out, but you're right. saying somebody losing a child could be planned?
Mostly.
Okay.
I think in my experience, because some of the kids that I've seen in spirit mm-hmm. are some of the oldest souls you can imagine. They've learned all their lessons. Mm. They come here to teach. And a lot of kids that pass teach, doctors, family. Mm-hmm. It's exponential. A lot of, you know what I mean? A lot of people learn from a child passing.
Yes.
They don't take things for granted when we have a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
They grow a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's their mission.
So the person that recommended you to me had lost a child mm-hmm. and had come to you. It was a tragic situation, and the child was one of four who died.
Yeah, right.
And so that was bad choices, right? They mm-hmm. made some bad choices, but you're saying that was still predetermined?
Not that one necessarily.
Okay, gotcha. So their free will can come into play and make bad choices.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like a suicide, but not in the sense that they're making bad choices.
When I'm saying children,
I see.
I'm feeling more like children.
Gotcha.
Adolescents,
pre-teens,
even teenagers.
Under.
Yeah, preteen,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean usually.
Gotcha.
And I think I help people get back on the right path, because a lot of people, when they lose a child, it's mm-hmm. easy. They blame God. Or they question his existence.
Sure.
How could there be a God if he takes a child?
Right.
I kind of try to give them comfort and letting them know, it's better. This is where we're supposed to be. These bodies are vessels,
mm-hmm.
And I try to explain to them that God exists and there's still randomness to this world. He didn't kill your child. Mm-hmm. We're living in hell here. That's why it's, in my opinion. That's why there's so much chaos here, murder and death.
And fear.
Yes.
Do you believe fear creates more fear?
Yes.
How can we get out of the cycle of fear?
I don't think we ever will.
Okay.
You mean as an individual?
Yes, individually, when people are stuck in a negative place and they go into victim mode, mm-hmm. what can they do to shift the tide?
Mm-hmm. Well, drown themselves in spirituality a little more.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things. Getting in touch with their guides more, better mm-hmm. understanding of the metaphysical in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga.
Right.
Those are things I recommend.
Truly, scientifically, if anyone's listening, for a minute and 30 seconds, if you think of something that's blissful, positive, and breathe into your heart, you will physically change your chemistry. You will increase the positive hormones and decrease the stress hormones. And that is just one thing that we can all do. But it's hard to get there when you're breathing fast. It's hard to get there when you're feeling bad. And it's hard to get there when you're feeling like the victim.
That's right.
Which happens a lot.
Yeah.
So for other people stuck in their grief and wanting to reach out to their loved ones, what can they do? Can they look for signs? Can they ask for signs?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of torn between the asking for signs and then realizing that the loved ones on the other side have some work to do too.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not always available on call to send every cardinal, right? That's one of them. I get cardinals from my dad all the time. I get heart-shaped images. I get pennies from heaven from my grandma. But so can we assign our loved ones on the other side a totem, so to speak? And if they're busy taking a class, they can send Carla down to send us a butterfly. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that a possibility?
Well, sort of. But first of all, it's very hard for spirit to do anything in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of people that come to me and they're like, they're mad at their relatives that have passed. Why is my sister knows that my dad's here, but I can't. I never see him. Never see any signs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll name off 10 different things that have happened in the house. Okay, yeah, that happened.
Right.
Well, the point is spirit doesn't always do what we want them to do or they think they should do.
Sure.
They do what they can do. And it takes a very advanced soul to do anything in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Like at my house, my daughters get scared sometimes. We hear people walking upstairs or doors opening, lights going on.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. They get scared still.
Yeah.
But to me, I know it's such an advanced soul that to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's just a lot of things that people need to pay attention to. A song coming on the radio that makes you think. Anything that gives you a deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Totally.
Like grandma, you get smells too.
Mm-hmm.
You smell familiar things of her cooking and other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way she comes through to you too.
Right.
You get that deja vu. That's
mm-hmm.
what it's all about. It's just they want acknowledgement. They want to help people from the other side.
Right.
They know more than we do.
I tell people that it's like, imagine if you called someone 15 times and they never picked up the phone. Eventually, you'd stop calling because reciprocity. Thank you. Yeah. Reciprocity. Say that 10 times fast. Then they're going to stop. And so we have to have that exchange, right? It has to be a give and take. And so I encourage people to, when you do see something, acknowledge it and say thank you. And then they'll show up like gangbusters, as much as they can, because you've opened the channel. You've set the flare off.
Exactly.
That you're open to receiving. And it's about receiving. And so I hope that those people who are listening can be open to receiving. Is there anything new that you're working on right now, Andrew, you'd like to let the audience know about?
Well, I've been actually doing a lot of consulting work lately for some big businesses. They've been actually putting me on retainer as a psychic consultant.
Okay.
That's kind of a new direction for me.
Well, you were in the Chicago Tribune talking about what the Trump presidency would bring. Would you like to chime in about that for a moment right now?
And I predicted him winning, of course, months before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the one thing that if I have any regret about that interview,
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I regret it, actually, but I made my predictions about what would happen with the presidency with him. Things have already, a lot of them have come to pass.
Right.
But one thing I said in closing was that I didn't particularly like the man he is. That has kind of changed with me ever since I've seen him in action. I feel like that he's not a bad person, and I feel like he's good for this country.
Hold the phone.
Not to get political.
Okay, but I mean, for those who are very into the environment and seeing what he's changed and putting up the walls, instead of spirituality is all about bridging people together and not putting up walls.
True.
Help me understand that statement.
Well, I just mean how he connected to middle class America in general.
But I'm just saying
my perception of him has changed a little.
I know a lot of spiritual people who feel the exact same way you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it, per se. Yeah, from a psychic level, you're saying that you think you predicted he would be here for two terms.
Yes.
And you think it's not the worst thing for the country because...
Right. He's creating more jobs than any other president in history, I think. It's still growing.
Right.
I mean, the stock market's soaring.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to be safer with him.
Despite the North Korea stuff that's going on.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with him. North Korea has been going on for decades.
Okay.
You know, they rattle their
swords.
But like
lying about Russia and stuff, you're not worried about some of these things that are coming up about lies? Or is that not, there's so many layers, we just don't know what's really going on.
Do you think you can name a politician that hasn't lied?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I think they're all in, you know, he's under a microscope.
Right.
So every little thing, and they're having a hard time finding that big, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That aha.
Right.
They're not getting it after all these months. So are they ever going to find it? I mean.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But the market hitting over 22,000. Do you think we're going to get up to 25,000?
Yes.
Oh,
it's going to soar even more.
My
Everything's
God.
Changing.
Okay.
Companies are coming back to the U.S.
Yes.
I think it was time for someone like him.
To swing the pendulum?
Yeah, the businessman.
Then what's going to happen to our environment? Because that's where, as a mom, I'm just terrified that it's going to be all steel and oil and everything that we were trying to green is going to be turned into something we can burn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that, believe that not too distant future, the process of all that is going to change to become more friendly, environmentally friendly.
Okay. Because that needs to happen.
Yeah,
I mean, I drive by Gary and I'm horrified. Just like
L.A. is
it's the same thing. Yeah.
You see the fog or smog.
Right, right. So we have to change those.
Like, I agree.
And do you think that this president has that knowledge and ability that has to change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think that he's as bad. I think the Paris Climate Accord, it was a bad deal for America.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Yep, yep.
I think he will go back and restructure another one. I think he cares.
Mm-hmm.
Just so it's not all one-sided and lopsided.
Sure.
Which is the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like once everything settles down, he'll go back and revisit that.
Gotcha.
And prove to people that he's not this heartless.
Right, right.
Person.
Okay, that's interesting. No. Now, as a dad, you're a dad. Mm-hmm. And how do your daughters feel about your gifts? You said they're scared of the haunted house. I get that. Things are going bump in the night.
Yeah,
but
they've gone to I've gone to paranormal events and haunted places like the Haunted Hotel in Zion and
other
places. They've gone with me. My one daughter, my younger one, is gifted. She's more, they're scared, really, of it.
Right.
But my one doesn't, she's just uses me and asks me questions about people and stuff. But
right.
She doesn't.
And
it's just second nature to them.
So that's true because they've grown up with it their whole life. Do they come to you about advice for boys or teachers?
Absolutely.
Or okay. And, and you tell them, is it hard for you to read them because they're family?
No.
Okay, you get it clearly.
Yes.
Because some people have trouble reading family
Absolutely.
Members. Yeah.
The closeness and girlfriends or husbands and wives, yeah.
That's right. So you can use this. So, and I'm sure everything you do in your daily life is a constant dialogue with you and Carl.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Carl told you it was okay to come down here today
Absolutely.
For this interview. Okay, good,
yeah.
good. Well, we're glad that we got to have this dialogue with you. I say that we for the whole posse, I guess, of spirits that are entering the room because they still seem to be here. Mm-hmm. But
what other level can we get you to where you, I know you here and you're on a different level, but something needs to, I feel like there's a lot more to you.
Okay.
There's a lot more for you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You meditate?
I do, but I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
I find I do it best when I'm running, which I know you're not supposed to be doing something, but that's when I get my...
That's amazing. I say that to people.
To run?
When I find that when our endorphins are released like that, we have a better connection. Because it's all about getting out of our own heads.
Completely.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Your mind is always thinking, worrying, processing. Mm-hmm. It's hard to shut that down.
Right.
That's I have a class every month that I have at my house, a little small intimate group where we meditate.
Mm-hmm.
I help people meditate, help them get out of their own heads.
Great.
That's one of the hardest things to do.
It is.
That's what I'm feeling. Like you need to figure out how to meditate. You can't just do it a few times, not have a result, and then quit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You need to eventually you'll have that aha.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Okay.
I'm feeling like maybe that's your path and then journaling after that.
Okay.
You're welcome to come to my group.
Well, thank you.
Joe comes every month. So.
All right. I will have to do that. Oh, that's good to know. Thank you for that. Anything else that I need to know from Carla or the group?
Are you going overseas?
I have no plans to.
Good. I don't think you should in the next 8 months.
Okay.
In March, I steered people away from London. In the end of May, I told them. In June, I stay off bridges.
Okay.
Which you saw what happened.
Yeah.
Let's see, for you.
So no overseas for 8 months.
No, something might come up next year for you to go somewhere. I'm not sure. And I'm not, check with me first.
Okay. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things that I want to help people avoid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really, you're blessed in a lot of ways. You've got good friends. You're blessed.
Will there be a broadcast entity that understands this content that will want to help get the word out? That's what I feel my mission is, Andrew, and it's very frustrating for me to continually bang down doors and have them say, sorry, nobody's interested, but we have 7 sports stations in this town.
Are you going to New York?
I don't have any plans
to. Do you have
to.
Ties to New York?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
What you just said, connection to New York.
Okay.
Would you just ask me?
Yeah.
You said, will there be
a broadcast network that will get it?
Maybe it's something to do with New York. Is that probably a bigger market than
it's
Chicago?
The next one. Yeah. First is New York. Second is L.A. Third is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there somehow. Something happens.
Okay.
Like I said, the veil thinning. So there is a way.
Okay.
I think you're gonna find it.
Well, that's my
you're
goal.
Just the right person, too.
I keep banging. You know, it's like I'm the Meredith
what
Vieira.
What do you mean banging?
I'm the Meredith Vieira of spirituality. I keep going to different people and saying you should have a show like this, and they go, no thanks. You should have a show like this. No thanks. So I don't know how many more doors I can have slammed in my face, but I'm not going to stop knocking on the door. Is what I'm saying.
Well, your approach to that needs to change. You can't just tell somebody this. Maybe you have to have like. Tape or something, an example.
Well, this is what we do, right? We have these conversations every week, and I just say, if you build it, they will come. So I continue to have these conversations that I know are being received by others, and hopefully somebody else will see the broadcast value of that from television or another standard radio, because I don't want to devalue the beauty of a podcast. I think the on-demand programming is outstanding, and it's the way to go, and it's global. So that is great to me. Someone in Japan can click on this, and if they can understand what I'm saying, then they'll benefit from it. So that I know is important.
Yeah, you need numbers to build the numbers up to bring to somebody at a network or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they believe in.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. That's so true. The proof is in the numbers.
Yeah. Maybe we go to a different country.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have like a disc or something you have, like a montage of different interviews that you let somebody listen to?
You know what? I haven't produced an audio montage of different things. I should probably do that.
That's what I'm feeling. Something
okay.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, a digital
rather than
audio.
Trying to go there and you should do this.
Right, right. No, yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. So it's just a compilation of what it is that we present to other
yeah.
people. Okay, fantastic. Well, for those who want to know more about Andrew's, either his books or his audio meditations, just visit his website, psychicmediumreading.org. You can download the ebook there, How to Enhance Your Psychic Ability. You can get the CD, Calming Meditation to Connect with Your Spirits. And hopefully, if you do that, you can read his blog as well. I highly recommend that because there are some great tips and examples on how we just don't have all the answers. All we can do is continue to believe there's more going on than what we can see or touch, and to breathe, get centered, and connect to our spirits on the other side because they want to hear from us. They can always hear from us. We just have to keep the dialogue going. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you for your time.
It was great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
You're
thanks
a good person.
I'm a good person, as are you.
Yeah, thank you.
And many lifetimes over.
Thanks.
I'm Jennifer Weigel. I'm Spiritual Dammit, and we'll see you next time.